Erevin Dav Chaf. We are starting at the very top of Chaf Amud Aleph. We're going to begin with the words Baimine Abayime Rabba. Just as a quick recap, just a couple of days ago we started the second perek of Erevin, and in it we were introduced to the idea of Pase Beiraos. What the Chachamim allowed is as those who are making Aliyah Leregel around the Yontif time are going to be trekking up to Yerushalayim, and they're going to have to stop on the way. So they're going to be parked basically by a well in order to get water over the course of Shabbos. But to be able to draw water from the well on Shabbos is going to be an Isser, because typically the well itself was a Rishus Yachid. The well's typically situated in a Rishus Arabim, and that would require a transfer from the well, the water from the well, which is a Rishus Yachid, to the area just around it, which is a Rishus Arabim, and that would be the Malacha of Hotza'ah. So what one can do is make the area around the well into Rishus Yachid, and that is going to be accomplished by taking four L-shaped brackets and putting them in the corners. And now the area that is inscribed within the L-shaped brackets is going to be a Rishus Yachid min HaTorah. Yesterday we noted that it is a Rishus Yachid on a Doraisa level. It is going to be a point that is going to be hammered and reiterated again over the course of today's daf as well. It is a Rishus Yachid min HaTorah. Now, the Chachamim only allowed you to use such an area under the circumstance where it is going around a well. And on top of that, there's also water in the well, a point that's going to be made a little bit later on in the course of this daf. This idea that these brackets are going to create a Rishus Yachid min HaTorah, so we already saw the first Tosos of this parak, that commented on the fact that it seems to be going against some basic rules regarding a mechitza. A mechitza that is going to be considered an enclosure has to have more wall space than air space. And meanwhile, over here, our brackets, our Pase Beiraos, clearly has more air space than wall space. And that obviously is a rule breaker. And how exactly does it break the rules? And what gives this the right to be considered Rishus Yachid min HaTorah? So that is an excellent question. And let's go back to Tosfos in the beginning of the second parak, where he addresses that question very briefly. He does give an answer. I'm not going to review the Tosfos' answer right now, but if you want to see it in more detail, so go back over the first Tosfos here in our parak. In the meantime, however, how big a gap are we talking about that can exist between the brackets? So machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, as we saw in yesterday's daf. Rav Meir says that the gap can be no wider than 10 amos, which is your typical gap for a Pesach. And Rav Yehuda allows for a gap up to 13 and a third amma. Exactly how they arrive at these numbers, so it seems to be that's correlated with the animals that are going in and out. The Mishnah describes that according to Rav Meir, it's going to be two sets of three animals going in and out of this entrance. Each animal is an amma and a third in width, and so making for a total of 10 ammas. Whereas opposed to Rav Yehuda has four animals going in, four animals going out, making a total of 8 animals, each being an amma in 2/3. Multiply that by 8, and you get to 13 and a third. Okay, that's in terms of the width. We then went over a series of questions that were asked from Abaye to his Rebbe, Rabba. Rabba with a hey. And the questions are, numbers 1 and 2, what if you have the gap being more than 10 amos, according to Rav Meir? Or question number 2, what if the gap is more than 13 and a third amos, according to Rav Yehuda? And now what you want to do, obviously, is you want to reduce the area of airspace. What's preferable? Is it preferable to just simply extend the brackets? Or is it preferable to add a post in the center? The Gemara asked the question both according to Rav Meir and according to Rav Yehuda. The Gemara did not arrive at a definitive answer. Question number 3 that was asked from Abaye to Rava, and again, this goes back to yesterday's daf, is that let's say the bracket is made up of an incline. In other words, it's not a wall. It does not actually a bracket, but it's a steep incline, which in halacha is viewed as a wall. Can we view as this halachic wall as part and parcel of the brackets that are going to create the Pase Beiraos? That was question number 3. Again, the Gemara there didn't come up with a definitive resolution. Seems to be that it is going to be contingent on a machlokas in terms of whether or not you say one rowan or two rowans. If you want to understand that better, go over again yesterday's daf. Question number 4 is, let's say that the brackets are made using the principle of lavud, where I don't have whole walls that are making the brackets, but what I have are halachic walls. I have a post and another post and another post. Each one is within 3 tefachim of the next one. And so halachically, we have the principle of lavud now creating these brackets. Can these brackets made up of lavud be used for my diyumdim and my pase beiraos? That question, too, was not given a definitive answer. We are now up to the 5th question that is going to be posed from Abaye to Rabba. and here's where we pick it up. We're on Chaf Amud Aleph. By Mina Abaye Merava, question number 5. Chasr Sharosha Nichnas Lebena Pasim. Ma Latalta Mitocha Lebena Pasim, Mi Bena Pasim Latocha. Let us construct the following scenario in which we have a chatzer that goes into the area, encroaches into the area of a Pase Beiraus. If you have a picture, it'd be very helpful. You get to see it. So the question is actually very simple. Can I carry from my chatzer to the Pase Beiraus? Can I carry from my Pase Beiraus back to the chatzer? Now, before we get to the answer, which in just a moment we're going to see it's mutter, but what's the consideration? Why would we have thought that it'd be aser? So we know that, typically speaking, on Shabbos, you can't carry from one Rishos Yachid to another Rishos Yachid if they are owned by different people. And this is an idea that's going to come up again and again in our Masechta. And it's not only limited to a single owner, but it's also owned true by a group as well. If I have two chatzeros, one chatzer owned by one group of people, another chatzer owned by another group of people, so you can carry on Shabbos from one chatzer to another chatzer. Now, if there is an access point to get from one chatzer to another, and they make an Eruv, unifying the two areas, so then you are allowed to carry from one to the other, because now it's considered like one entity, one area. Over here, however, what we are discussing is the ability to carry from a chatzer to Pase Beiraus. And even without an Eruv, it would be mutter. Now, let's just see the answer inside. I'm really mutter. Okay, so the answer is that it's mutter. And in just a moment, we're going to be talking about two chatzeros. But before we get to two chatzeros, let's first understand why one chatzer would be mutter. One chatzer would be mutter. So Rashi on the top of the Amud explains the halakha diurim bein apasim the lesser alayu de lahavi motzi mirushuso lirushus chavera. So the rabbinic prohibition to carry from one rishus to another is when they're owned by two different people. Over here, Pase Beiraus is not owned by anybody. Rashi says there are no diurim, there are no residents in the Pase Beiraus. We are just making a makeshift Rishus HaYachin on our way to Yerushalayim, and it's not considered to be a residential area. It's a Rishus HaYachin that is non-residential. And so therefore, when it is contiguous with a Chatzer, so there is no problem whatsoever to carry from the Chatzer to the Pase Beiraus, because the Pase Beiraus is not really considered as if anyone is residing in the Pase Beiraus. It's not really owned by anybody, and so therefore there'd be no problem whatsoever. Now, Shtaymai, back to the Gemara. The Gemara now wants to know, let's say I have two chatzeros that are opened up into our Pase Beiraus. Now again, if you have a picture over here, it'd be very helpful. You can see a little bit of a schematic of it in Rashi. There's one picture on my daf with Rashi, giving a some pictorial of what it looks like. Anyway, so if you have two going in, what would be the halacha? Amalei Aser. So, Rav's response to this question is that it would be Aser. Now, we'll get to the why in just a moment. In fact, we're going to get to it right now. Amar Rav Huna. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Huna says, Shtayim Asurim Va'afilu Irvu. Now, even if the members of these two chatzeres made an heir of one with the other, it still would be prohibited to carry now from the chatzer into the area of the Pase Beiraus. Now, this obviously needs an explanation. Because if you think about it, the conclusion of Rav Huna seems to be a very strange conclusion. And that is, even if they make an Eruv, it would be us, or consider, if they made an Eruv, so now these two areas of the Chatzeros are unified into one area. It's not two Chatzeros anymore, it's one Chatzer. And we just got done saying that if one Chatzer opens up into the Pase Beiraus, so then I can carry from the Chatzer into the Pase Beiraus. If I have two Chatzeros and they make an Eruv, so then for sure I should be able to carry from that area into the Pase Beiraus. It's considered now basically a single Chatzer. So what's the thinking behind Rav Huna? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi goes on to explain over here, Rashi four lines down, Vafilu Irvu. So Rashi over here explains that these two chatzeros, obviously they had to have a Pesach between them. If they didn't have a Pesach between them, they couldn't make an Eruv between the two of them. So obviously there's a Pesach. And now Rashi goes on to explain. So what's the issue? I can't carry from the chatzer to the Bein HaPasim. Now, obviously in this circumstance where they made an Eruv, I can carry from one chatzer to the other. I just simply can't carry from the chatzer into the area of the Bein HaPasim. Now Rashi goes on to explain, Gzera Shema Yomru Erev Moel Bein HaPasim L'shatev Chatzeros Yachad She'arav Osa Metaltim Mitochen L'Bein HaPasim Lo Yada D'yesh Pesach B'neim. So, let's talk about our casual observer and what he's going to walk away thinking. He will think to himself that he didn't know that there was a Pesach between the two Chatzeros, and he's now watching the members of this Chatzer carry from their Chatzer into the Bein HaPasim area. And now, for our casual observer, what is he going to think? Rashi goes on to explain. So Hachanami mishum denasnu erivan bein apasim l'shatev keshitov shar mavoi v'asal mishrei nami l'achnis l'otzi mi bein apasim l'chatzeros ki leka pesach b'neihem v'yayiv eruv ba'achas ha'chatzeros derech bein apasim v'ahu vader l'mahani d'chi takin rabbanin shitufei mavoz b'mavoi sasun tikun v'orcha yosa arachva v'zem mafool sh'arbetz dadim. So, for our casual observer, he's going to think as follows. He does not know that there's a Pesach that's connecting these two. He does not necessarily know that an Eruv was made to unify the two Chatzeros. And he's going to think to himself that what's going on over here is that they're making some sort of Eruv similar to the kind of Eruv that was made for a Mavui. Now, this is not a Mavui, to be as clear as possible. This is Pase Beiraus, but if this would have been a case of a mavui, so we know, and we're going to learn this in much detail later in the Masechta, that one can create a shitof, one could create a unification where one is going to basically combine and unify the area of the chatzeros that open up into the mavui. So the chatzer and the mavui, the chatzeros and the mavui now are going to be one entity, one domain, and you can carry from the chatzer to the mavui, and from the mavui to another chatzer. However, as Rashi just went on to explain, I know I read all of it really quickly. However, says Rashi, that is only limited to the case of the Chatzeros and a Mavui. You can only do Shitufei Mavaos only when you're operating with a Mavui. Now, a Mavui, as we already discussed earlier in the Masechta, has very specific definitions. A Mavui has to be longer than it is wide. It has to be rectangular in shape. You have to have multiple Chatzeros opened up into it. And it needs a tikkun. It needs either a lechi or kara on the front. And it is encircled by three walls around it. Okay, in other words, not to go over the entire first parak again, but the mavui has very strict definitions of what it is. The idea of shitufei mavos, that you can make basically an eruv structure for a mavui, so that's true, but it has to specifically be a mavui. Over here, by our pase beiraus, you do not have the institution of shitufei mavos for pase beiraus. Now, Rashi at the very end says, it's very interesting. The reason why is because it's not a mavui, and it's mefulash la'arbet stadim, it's open to all four sides. Now, we already made this point, but a notable striking difference between the mavui and the pase beiraus. So anyway, so you can't make shitufei mavos regarding the pase beiraus. The casual onlooker will think to himself, oh, if the reason why we're able to carry from the chatzer into the pase beiraus is because some sort of shituf was made. That casual observer is not going to know that the real reason why is because there's an opening between one chatzer to the other. The two chatzeres create an area between the two of them, unifying them into one area. Now, effectively, it's one chatzer that's opened up into the Pase Beiraus, which we just concluded is okay. The casual observer is not going to understand all that, and he will confusingly and erroneously consider and think that the reason why it works is because some sort of shitof mavos is set up over here in a case where shitof mavos simply doesn't work. Okay. That's a mouthful, admittedly, but Rav Huna says that's why, even if they made an Eruv between the two of them, it's going to be Aser. Now, Rava, on the other hand, disagrees. We're back in the Gemara, and Rava is opposed to the Shita of Rav Huna. Rava Amar Eruv Mutar, that if the two Chatzeros that are opened up into the Pase Beiraus, if they made an Eruv, the two Chatzeros one with the other, unifying the two areas, so now it's one Chatzer, and just like we said, regarding one Chatzer opened up into Pase Beiraus, one is allowed to carry from the area of the chatzer into the pasuk beiraus. Two unified is considered just like one. Amalei Abai LaRava Tanya Medim Masayelach. Abai says to Rava, I have a brisa supporting your position. Chatzer Shirosh Echa Nichnas LeBein Pasim. If I have a chatzer opened up, encroaching into the area of the Bein Pasim, Mutal Latalta Mitocha LeBein Pasim Umi Bein Pasim Latocha. You can carry from the chatzer to the Bein Pasim and vice versa. Aval shtayim aser, but if two chatzeros are opened up into the Bein Pasim area, so then it would be aser. Ba med devar mamurim, but when is that true? Shelo irvu. That's only if no eruv was made. Aval irvo mutarin, but if an eruv was made, so then it would be mutar. Because once you make an eruv, like we already just got done saying, so then it unifies the two chatzeros, and then it's tantamount to one chatzer opening up into the area of the Bein Pasim. This brisa is in total support of Rava. In fact, it's in such support for Rava, so then you have to wonder, what's Rav Huna going to say about that brisa? We don't have to wonder. The Gemara asks exactly that question. Lema te'avit yufta de Rav Huna. So the brisa now is connected. Rav Huna, amalecha Rav Huna, hasam de hadran v'irvan. Rav Huna's response is that what we're talking about, an unusual circumstance. The brisa is not talking about a typical case. It's talking about an atypical case, and so therefore leave the brisa out of the discussion. What exactly is the case of the brisa? Hadron v'irvan. So now we can go to the Rashi, and this is the Rashi right by the picture in Rashi. where Rashi explains that shenifritz abeneim pirtza gedola b'sofa shegala lechol shereshus achasi. So the situation is in which the wall that is between the two chaseros has collapsed, a good part of it's collapsed, and so therefore any onlooker will now be able to look at these two chaseros and clearly see that it's no longer considered two chaseros, but rather it's considered one chaser. So there is no confusion in this scenario, which says Rav Huna, because the only confusion is when I have two chaseros opened up into the Beina Pasim area, and then the confusion in terms of how exactly we're carrying from the chaser into the Beina Pasim area. But over here, with the wall coming down between them, so now everyone will clearly see that these are not two chaseros, but rather it's one chaser, and that's why this case is different. So would Rav Huna have to say the pshat in the Braisa is? The Braisa obviously does not read that well, and it's a forced answer within the Braisa, but it is a defense of Rav Huna. Okay, we are moving on to question number 6, just as a quick recap of question number 5. The question was, when the chatzer opens up into the Beina Pasim area, can I carry from the chatzer into the Beina Pasim area? The answer simply is yes. The Beina Pasim area is considered a non-residential area. It is a Rishus Yachid, but it's non-residential, and so therefore you do not have the rabbinic prohibition of carrying from one domain owned by one people or a group of people to another domain owned by another person or another group of people, because the Beina Pasim area is not considered a residential area. However, in a situation where two chaseros are opened up, so then it brings in a problem regarding how people understand the mechanism in which we're carrying from the chaser into the Beina Pasim area, and then a subsequent debate between Rav Huna and Rava in terms of what if the two chaseros that are opened up into the Beina Pasim area, what if they made an error between one another? Does that now turn them into one chaser, which we already established you're allowed to carry from one chaser into the Beina Pasim area, and a debate between Rav Huna and Rava. Continuing now, we're up to question number 6. Bai minei abai mei Rava. The following question was asked, Yav shumayim b'shabas mahu. What if the water source dried up? You made the bracketed area around a well, and the well now has dried up on Shabbos. What would be the status? And the answer is very clear. The only reason why the bracketed area is considered a Rishus HaYachid in order for you to be able to carry within that area is because you're making it around a well that has water. Once the well does not have water, so now it no longer serves as a Rishus HaYachid. Now, even though I said it very definitively, I'm going to be clear in just a moment, it really still is a Rishus HaYachid, and the Gemara is going to make that point very clear. It just happens to be, in terms of our ability to use it, we're no longer given license to use it, despite the fact that it's a Rishus HaYachid, based on the fact that there's no longer water, and the only reason why it is allowed to be used as a Rishus HaYachid is because of the water. Okay, we'll get that point. It will become clear in the Gemara. By Rav and Yavshu Mayim b'Shabbos Uvavu b'Shabbos Mahu. Ravin now has a follow-up question, which is, let's say, on Shabbos, first the water source dried up, and then there was a flash flood, and then water came into the well on Shabbos. So, can it change statuses multiple times? Amale Abaye, Yavshu b'Shabbos lo tibaylach, debay minei demaru pashalei de'asr. So Abaye says, look, I asked my Rebbe, meaning every time he mentions Mar, he's talking about Rava. I asked my Rebbe what happens when the water dries up, and he says that it's asr. So, ba'unami lo tibaylach, tahabalei mechitza asui b'Shabbos. So if the water comes in subsequently, so then it should be mutter. Vitanya, the Gemara says, and I have a braisa that supports this as well, called mechitza asuya b'shabbos, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'onis, bein b'raton, shma mechitza. Any wall that's constructed on Shabbos. Now, obviously, you're not allowed to construct a wall on Shabbos. It would be a violation of Shabbos to do so. But if the wall was constructed on Shabbos, halacha recognizes it as a wall, and if it creates Rishus HaYachid, you now have a Rishus HaYachid. Now, over here in our scenario, it's not exactly the same. You already have the brackets in place over here. It's just whether or not I can give it the status of Rishus HaYachid, and that's going to be predicated on whether or not there's water in the well or there is no water in the well. If there's water in the well, so then we can make usage of the walls and the Rishus HaYachid. If there is no water in the well, so then we can't make usage of the walls. But nevertheless, though, the point's still being made in that once we recognize that any walls that are set up on Shabbos is considered walls, so similarly over here, once there is water in the well, so that will now will obviously allow for these for the bracket area to be used. And even though there was a point in time over Shabbos where there was no water in the well, but now that there's water in the well subsequently, so now we're going to be able to recognize the walls. The Gemara says, this is all well and good, but continuing in the Gemara, V'la v'itmar la, Rav Nachman, L'shana ela lizrok, av'la tato lo. Now Rav Nachman says, now what you are, when you construct walls on Shabbos, Rav Nachman says, yes, they're walls. And yes, the halacha recognizes them as walls. And if there are four of them, so then yes, it's an enclosure and it's a reshus yachid. All that's true, but Rav Nachman says that's only for chiyuv. That's only if I throw an item into that area from a reshus rabbim. Then we're going to say that's walls. But to be makel and to allow carrying within that area, so Rav Nachman says, no, you're not allowed to. So the Gemara says, so I'm a little bit confused because Rav Nachman says, even though we do recognize walls on Shabbos as being walls, but that's only for the purposes of chiyuv, not for the purposes of being makel and carrying. So the Gemara says, "Ki itmar de Rav Nachman amazed itmar." No, Rav Nachman's qualification was only going on the case of mazed. Makes a lot of sense, meaning that if somebody deliberately violates the Shabbos and makes these walls on Shabbos, so even though the halacha still recognizes these walls, and even though the area circumscribed is a reshus hayachid, nevertheless, as far as being able to carry within that area, so the Chachamim did not allow you to carry in that area, and again, makes sense. In other words, those walls were created on Shabbos bin Mazid, deliberately violating the Shabbos, so you can't benefit from that in carrying within that area. Anything short of Mazid, meaning it's a case of Shogeg, the walls were created by people who forgot that it was Shabbos or forgot that it was Asar. And in our case over here, it's not even Shogeg, meaning water came, it was a rain. And water came and filled up the wells again, allowing now us to recognize the status of the walls of the Pase Beiraz. So under these circumstances, it should be fine. Fine not only in terms of defining as a Rosh Hashiachid, but fine also in terms of carrying within that area as well. Where do we stand right now? That if the brackets that are circling around the well, if the well dries up, so then you can't use the area inside anymore to carry. If the well refills, so then you can use the area once again. All this occurring on one Shabbos, and statuses can change. Amar Rav Elazar, back to the Gemara, Azorik Leben HaPaseh HaBeiros Chayav. If a person were throw an item from Rishos Rabim into the Paseh HaBeiros area, so he would be Chayav. And so what Rav Elazar is telling us in the simplest of terms and the most clear of terms is that the area inscribed within the Paseh HaBeiros is considered Rishos HaYachid Midda Araisa. And one were to throw an item from the Rishus Rabbim into this enclosed area, he would be violating Shabbos on a Da'araisa level. And so one could have thought, and the Gemara is going to contemplate this in just a moment, that the area inscribed in these areas is not a real Rishus Yachid. Now that's very difficult to imagine, and this point is going to be made by the Gemara, because there wouldn't be an allowance then to draw water from the well. But just for a moment, imagine that we're not talking about a real enclosure over here. There are four brackets in the four corners, each one jutting out only one amma. You have a lot of airspace between them. You could have imagined that these areas are not Rishos HaYachid Min HaTorah. Again, it's a difficult Havamina, but you could have thought that way. What Rav Elazar is telling us with clarity is that no, this area inscribed is in fact considered a Rishos HaYachid. Now, the Gemara does not even want to entertain any other way to look at it. Pshitas is Gemara, it's obvious. If it wasn't a Rishos HaYachid, how would you be allowed on Shabbos to fill, to draw water from the well into the area inscribed within the brackets? So, lo tzricha da'avid kein pase beiraus, uberishos harabim v'zarek latocha chayef. So, the Gemara says, well, maybe the chiddush of Rav Elazar is that I threw into this area inscribed by the brackets, and there was no water in the well. The Gemara's language is kein pase beiraus, it's like pase beiraus. And Rashi explains it's not actual Paseh Beiraus in that there's no water in the well. So maybe that would be a Chiddush. So the Gemara says, Hanami Pshita. You want to tell me that that's a Rishus Yachid? That's obvious. Of course it is. Ilav de Ba'ama Mechitza Higabe Bor Hechem Mishtari Leila Totule. If we didn't view it as a Rishus Yachid Min HaTorah, so then just because now there's water in the well, now it becomes a Rishus Yachid? Obviously, it was a Rishus Yachid beforehand as well. So Lo Tzricha Afagav Dekabake Be'rabim. So the Gemara says, okay, so I want to introduce a Chiddush because so far we have yet to say a Chiddush. The area inscribed within the Paseh Beiraus is Rishus HaYachid, that's obvious. Even if there's no water in the well, that too is obvious. So where's the Chiddush? The Chiddush lies in the case where, let's say, the bracketed area is basically right in the street, and now you have traffic going through these large gaps. And so even though Bakeh Be'Rabim, even though there's traffic going through, it still maintains the status of being Rishus HaYachid. So now we do have a chiddush in Rav Elazar in that one could have thought that when there's traffic going through an area loses the status of being Rishus Yachid. And now what Rav Elazar is teaching us is that, no, it retains the status of being Rishus Yachid. Ham Rav Elazar Chadazim, and Rav Elazar already said that. Did not we learn in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Omrim Haisa Derech Rishus Rabim Mepaska San Yisab Kenel Estad Mechachamim Omrim En Rav Sarech. We're going to be seeing later in the Masechta, actually a couple days from now, where you have a scenario in which a road is going through the area of the Pasei Beiros and cutting right through the middle of that area. So do you have to reroute the road so that the road no longer is running through the Pasei Beiros? Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says that the road itself needs to be rerouted so that you don't have the public actually walking through. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the public in fact walks through, so that's going to be negating the status of the Rishus Yachid. The Chachamim simply say, Ein Utsarech, it is unnecessary. That means that according to the Chachamim, even though traffic is going through, that is not negating the status of the area within the Pasei Beiros. So here we have the Shita of the Chachamim, and now let's follow. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar Darmi Tarvayu Kano Diecha Kochon Shemachitos. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar tell us that, look, what do you see over here? Specifically from the Shita of the Chachamim, the strength and the power of Mechitos. They are so powerful that they have the status of being an inscribed area of Rishus Yachid, despite the fact that you have traffic going through. So Ime Hasam, so the Gemara says, fine, you're right. I had that Mishnah, and I have the comment of Rav Elazar on that Mishnah. If that's all I had, Havamina Kambalos Firle, we could have interpreted Rav Elazar to mean that he was just simply commenting on, look what we get to see from that Mishnah, not necessarily that the halacha follows like the position. So Kamash Malan Kanvas Firle. So over here, what we're learning together is that not only is he highlighting how strong a position it is, but rather we paskin like that as well. Meaning by Rav Elazar making the statement, Azorik Lebein Pasei Beiros Chayav, so it's coming to tell us that even though it is brackets, even though there's no water in the well, which as the Gemara pointed out, neither of those points are chidushim, and even though public is walking through it, now we have a chiddush. And one could have said that if the public is walking through it, it negates the status of the walls. Nevertheless, Allah is, it's not negated, it's still Rishus Yachid. And then, if I were to throw an item from the Rishus Rabbim into this inscribed area, one would be chayv min haTorah, even if public are going through it. The Gemara says, okay, now Rav Elazar had to say the Psak Halacha, and then Rav Elazar also had a comment on the Mishnah that seems to be extraneous. So the Gemara admits, that's right, you're right. He didn't make both of the statements, he actually made one of the statements, and the other one is implied, inferred from the other statement as well. Not clear in the Gemara which one was the original statement, which one was the implied statement, but one of them was stated explicitly and the other one was inferred. And now we are done with the first half of today's daf. So in summation, we went through in the first half of today's daf, the two additional questions that Abaye asked Rava, one having to do with the chatzar that goes into the Bein HaPasim area and the ability to carry from the chatzim to the Bein HaPasim. Two is what happens on Shabbos if the well dries up. What happens on Shabbos if subsequently it gets refilled again? Do the statuses of the Pasei Beiros change upon the absence and then the recouping of water? And then the Gemara went on to discuss exactly what is the status of the area of the Bein HaPasim, specifically as it relates to it being a Rishus Yachid. And the Gemara quotes the halacha of Rav Elazar that it is a Rishus Yachin, even under the circumstances where you have the public passing through. We are now at the two dots at the bottom. Tanan Hasam, we're going to start with a Mishnah that comes up at the end of the Masechta. The Mishnah, Lo Yamad Adam Rishus Aram V'yishtev Rishus Yachid, Rishus Yachid V'yishtev Rishus Arabim. Ela Imke Machnis Rosh V'rubo L'makum Shehu Shose V'chein Begas. So the Mishnah tells us that if one wants to drink water on Shabbos, so one has to be standing within the domain that the water is in. So, for example, for a person to be able to drink in a Rishus Yachid, he has to be standing within the Rishus Yachid. And for a person to be drinking from the Rishus HaRabim, he has to be standing in the Rishus HaRabim. And a person cannot be standing in one area and drinking from the other area. His head and the majority of his body has to be in that area, that in the same area that the water is in. Now, the same thing is true regarding a gas. Gas has to do with wine. As it relates to Trumas and Maisos, we know the halacha is that when Trumas and Maisos are in its raw state, sorry, let me say it better and clearer. If the wine was in its raw state and it has not yet been processed, so then you can eat from the wine, in this case, drink from the wine, even before Hafresh Shumas HaMaisos, and this is what's called Achilas Arai. So in this case, Shtias Arai. Being that the wine is not yet processed, it's still in the early processing stages of this thing called the gas. So therefore, one is in fact allowed to take small sips from the wine in this area once it has been removed from the first vats and taken out from there. So then the halacha is that now it is considered nikva, it's considered now as if it has gone through a significant processing, and so therefore you cannot even have a shtias arai at that point in time. Okay, and we're going to be discussing this later in the Masechta in terms of the in terms of how this actually plays out for Trumas HaMaisos. It's not really our topic for now. Just a very basic, rudimentary understanding of this last line. In the meantime, however, let us go back to the basic point over here, and that is that in order to drink water, so the water and you have to be within the in the same domain. At least your head and the majority of your body has to be in the same domain that the water is. Otherwise, what's the concern? The concern is that if your head is just over and you're standing in the Rishos Rabim and the water is in the Rishos Yachid, so after taking a sip, what you're going to do is you're going to bring your head back and you're going to be transferring the water from the Rishos Yachid to the Rishos Rabim. So therefore, you and the majority of your body has to be in the same domain as the water which you're drinking from. That is the Mishnah that we're going to be seeing at the end of the Masechta. Now, why is the Gemara bringing it up over here based on the upcoming discussion? Gabi Adam, we're on the very top of Chafam and Beis. Gabi Adam Ha'amar Dabai Rosh Verubo. So by people drinking from the water, so it's very clear. So your head and the majority of your body has to be within the same area as the water source. Gabi Para Mi Be'in and La Rosh Verubo Olo. Now, let's say your animal is going to be drinking, or you're going to be watering your animal. So does the head and the majority of its body need to be in the same domain as the water? Now, in order to appreciate and understand this, we're going to see, it's very clear from the upcoming Gemara. The Gemara is going to be spending the entirety of the Amud Beis discussing this issue. It's going to be very clear that the main concern over here is not your animal transferring water. There is an Isser Shvisas Behemta, which means that your animal cannot do Malacha. But it's not the concern over here as to whether or not your animal is going to move its head back. The concern is that while you're watering your animal, you're holding not only the animal, but you're also holding some sort of bucket, some sort of kli. And what may end up happening is that your animal may not be as behaved as you want it to be. It's going to move around its head, and you're going to follow its head, and you're going to end up transferring from one domain into another, from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, or vice versa. That's going to be the basic issue. And so when you're watering your animal, so do you need the head and the majority of your animal to be in the same area as which it's drinking from? And the Gemara goes on to give more details over here exactly what the question is. Kol hecha dekanaka mana velo nakala. If, let's say, you're holding the kli, but you're not holding the harness, the collar of the animal, so lo tibayalach debay rosh v'ruba milagav. So then, under those circumstances, clearly the head and the majority of the animal has to be in the same domain as the water in which it's drinking from. Ki tibayalach hecha dekanaka mana v'nakala. My. But let's say I'm holding the kli in one hand and I'm holding the collar of the animal in the other hand. And so now I have full control of the animal thereby by holding the collar. And I'm also holding the kli in which I'm drawing the water from. And so now, even though the animal is not in the same domain as the water, let's say it's just a head, but the rest of the animal is not. So can I make the argument over here that I don't need to be worried because I'm holding the kli in one hand, I'm holding the animal in the other hand? So are we allowed to be, under these circumstances, slightly more makel because I'm holding on to the animal? Amalei tenisua. And so this is the question that was posed, and the answer is, we learned it in a Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah over here is talking about Pasei Beiros. It's not exactly the same, but it seems to be very similar, in that our Mishnah over here allows for an animal to drink from the well that was inscribed by the brackets, but only if the animal's head and the majority of its body is interior of the bracketed area. Now, my love, denaki love, anaka mana. Now, the Mishnah is not clear exactly what's being held. And so the Gemara is suggesting that presumably what's being held over here is that you're holding the kli and you're also holding the animal as well. You're holding the harness of the animal. And if that's true, that would indicate that the animal's head and the majority of its body need to be in the same domain as the water, plus you have to be holding it as well. Now that's a lot of speculation. The Mishnah does not utter a word about the fact that you're holding the animal, but as a suggestion, that presumably is the best way to describe the scenario of the Mishnah. And the Gemara is rebuttal, very simple, lo. No, the naki mana v'lo naki la. You're holding the kli, but you're not holding the animal. V'chi naki mana v'lo naki la mishari. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So you're telling me that if I'm holding the bucket and I'm not holding the animal, under those circumstances, it would be motivat tanya. The Gemara says, let's consider a brisa that we're going to be seeing today and we're going to be seeing tomorrow as well. Lo yimalei adamayim v'tein b'shabbos lifnei behemto. A person should not fill up the water and water his animal on Shabbos. What exactly is the circumstance? It's going to become clear in just a moment. In the meantime, we're reading the brisa and translating. Ava mamalehu v'shofich v'hishos me'aleha. However, what you can do is you can fill the trough up and put water into the trough and let it pour and basically flow to the animal, and the animal will go ahead and drink from the trough. Okay, now, at this point in time, we really don't know what exactly are the context, the circumstances of this brisa, but right now the Gemara is assuming that the first half of this brisa that describes lo yimalei adam v'yitein b'shabbos nefnei behemto, that means to say that you can't water your animal. The Gemara is assuming over here that you can't water the animal if you're not holding the animal, meaning the only way you could water your animal is if you hold the animal. That's what the Gemara assumes that the brisa means. If that's a correction on the brisa, so it goes against what we just got done saying. We just got done saying that as long as the head and the majority of the body of the animal is within the same domain as the water, so then you don't have to hold the animal. And this brisa suggests like you do have to hold the animal. So the Gemara says, Ha'it marla amar abai. So the Gemara says, okay. But this brisa that we just quoted, so it has a very specific scenario. It's not talking in general terms. It's talking about a very specific case, which is Hacha be'evus almid v'rshus harabim, gavo yutfachim v'rochav dal v'rosho echa nichnas v'ben apasim. So over here, we're describing the following scenario. Now, if you have a picture over here, it would be tremendously helpful. In fact, in the Gemara, in the standard Gemara, there's a picture of this as well. The picture is, it's easier once you know what is trying to be described over here. So if you look at the picture on the page of the Gemara, so you're going to see a cow in the house. Okay, it's already got two legs sticking out. But anyway, the cow's in the house, and immediately in front of the cow, you'll have a trough. That's the avos. And then the avos also encroaches into the bracketed area. So if you want just halachically to view it, it's basically the house, which is a rishus yachid, the avos, which is surrounded by rishus rabim, but the trough itself is a rishus yachid. It has the dimensions of rishus yachid. 10 tefachim high, an area of minimum 4x4, and then the pasei be'eros is also rishus yachid. So actually what you have now are three contiguous rishus hayachid areas. The house, the trough, and the bracketed area. Under these circumstances now, this is Abai's explanation of the brisa. I'm going to go back to the Gemara. We're going to reread. Amar Abai hacha ba'avos amit v'rishus harabim gavo yutfachim v'rochav dal v'rosho echan nichnas l'bein apasim gzera demachazi leila avos demakaka v'asa l'tkunei v'dar leila davla behadeh v'kamafik m'rishus yach l'rishus harabim. Now, as far as what the brisa is allowing and what the brisa is not allowing, so I'm going to work backwards because it's much easier to describe what the brisa is allowing. What the brisa is allowing is for you to draw water from the well, which is obviously in the area of the pasei be'eros, pour the water into the trough, and let the water then go to the animal. No problem with it whatsoever, because all I'm doing now is just transferring from one rishus yachid to another, and as we already got done saying, the pasei be'eros is not considered a residential rishus yachid, so there would be no problem transferring the water from the pasei be'eros into the trough right next to it, let the water flow to the animal, and that would be fine. That's the second half of the brisa, so that's what it's allowing. What is it disallowing? So what it's disallowing is for you to fill water up and now to bring the water all the way to the animal. Now, how are you going to do that? By definition, you're going to be walking through rishus harabim. Now, that part's true, but you're going to be keeping the kli over the trough. The trough is a rishus yachid. We know that the rishus yachid is ola l'rakia, just keeps going up. And so what you would think you're allowed to do is draw the water from the well in the pasei be'eros, that's a rishus yachid, carry it above the trough as you're bringing it closer to the animal, and then actually bringing it and drinking and having the animal drink directly from the kli that you brought right next to it. That's what the brisa is not allowing. Why is the brisa saying that that's not allowed? Abai explains the following. Because as you're walking now along the right next to the trough, holding the kli above the trough, what you may end up noticing is that the trough is a little bit broken, and it's going to require you fixing it. Now, I'm going to admit over here that it's a little bit difficult to understand because we're talking about on Shabbos, And what exactly are you fixing on Shabbos? You're not allowed to fix anything on Shabbos. So it's really not clear exactly what you're going to end up fixing on Shabbos, but you may notice it, and you're going to then end up putting the kli down. Now, when you're going to put it down, you may end up putting it on the ground. Now, the ground is the Rishus HaRabim, and so if this were to happen, so then you would be transferring from the Rishus HaYachiv, that's the area of the Bein HaPasim, onto the street right next to the trough, and now you just transfer from the Rishus HaYachiv to the Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara says that is Abai's understanding of the Braisa, so it's a Gzera Derabanan for the concern that we just laid out. Back to the Gemara, V'chi Agavni Mimechai V'amar Rav Safra, Amar Vami, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amifana Chafetzav, Mezavis Lezavis V'nimlach Aleim V'otziyam Pater, Shelo Haisa Akir Mishar Rishon Lekach. The Gemara now is asking an unbelievably technical question, technical but absolutely correct and principle. And that is that the only way that a person violates Hotzah on Shabbos is that when he does the Akira, he has in mind that he's going to be bringing it to the next domain. If, on the other hand, he did the Akira, let's say just simply to go in another corner of the house, and then he changes his mind while the item is already in his hand after he did the Akira, and now he walks outside, so the halacha is that one is not violating the Isra D'Oraisa of Hotza'ah. The Isra D'Oraisa of Hotza'ah demands that when you pick the item up and when you're doing the Akira, you have at that point in time in mind to transfer it to another domain. Over here, when you picked up the kli to bring it to the animal, your original intent was not to transfer it to Rishus HaRabim, but rather to keep it within the confines of a Rishus HaYachid. So from a technical standpoint, there shouldn't be a gzera necessary over here, because one is not violating Nisa D'Oraisa. Okay, so Ella, so the Gemara says, you're right, Zimnan D'Metakin Le V'Hadar Ma'ayo Le V'Kama'ayam Rishus HaRabim L'Rishus HaYachid. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. After you fix the trough, what you're going to do now is you're going to pick up the kli from the ground, and now you're going to give it to your animal. Picking it up from the ground in order to give it to your animal, that is transferring from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So the Gemara says, so there is cause for concern of violating an Isra D'Oraisa, and so consequently, there is a reason to make a Gzera D'Rabbanan under these circumstances. Ad kan. That takes us through round one of this discussion. That was a lengthy discussion, all revolving the question, revolving around the question of when watering an animal, does the animal's both head and the majority of its body have to be in the same domain as the area when it's drinking? And in version number one, in the first version that we just went through, the question is when I'm not holding the animal, meaning to say that when I'm holding the animal, so then at least there's an argument to make that you don't even need the head and the majority of the body of the animal to be in the same area as the water. Igadami, now the Gemara is going to be going through basically the same discussion with just a slight difference. In the second version, Gabi Adam HaKamina Desagale Berosha Verubo. Now by a person, in order to drink water, so the head and the majority of your body has to be in the same domain as the water. Gabi Para Misagale Berosha Verubo O Lo. Now, when it comes to an animal, is it going to be enough if the head and the majority of the body is in the same domain? So, now, if you're holding the animal and you're holding the kli, so then the head and the majority of the body certainly would be sufficient. But let's say you're holding the kli, but you're not holding the animal. So, under those circumstances, would it be acceptable? Would it be okay? So now in the second version, so the Gemara is assuming that for sure you need the head and the majority of the body of the animal inside. The only question becomes is that if I'm not holding the animal, would there be any allowance whatsoever? Meaning under these circumstances, the concern would be that being that you're not holding the animal, you really don't have control of the animal. The animal is now going to move away from the same domain as the water. You're going to be following the animal and you're going to be transferring from wherever the water is in. If the water is in Rishus HaYachid, you're going to be transferring from Rishus HaYachid out to the Rishus HaRabim. So in the second version, it starts off from being a point slightly more machmir. So Amar Le Tenisua, and now from this point going forward, the discussion is effectively the same. We learned it in the Mishnah Vavashite Parvusha Rosh Avruba Mibifnim Vishosa. So we look at our Mishnah over here. Our Mishnah says that the animal can go into the area of the Pasabaros to drink from the well, provided that the head and the majority of the animal are within the enclosed area. So my love, denaki mana velo naki la. Presumably, we're talking about a case where you're holding the kli, but you're not holding the animal. So the Gemara says, lo, denaki mana velo naki la. No, the case is where I'm holding both the kli and the animal, meaning I'm holding the collar of the animal. That makes much more sense. Now, if I'm holding the kli, but I'm not holding the animal, it's not permitted at all. We know it's not permitted. Because of a brisa, so again, this brisa that talks about making a distinction between bringing the water to the animal, which you can't do, but pouring it, that you are allowed to do. Now, what exactly is the context? So we already know because we already went through this in the first version. But now the Gemara is assuming that over here, what it means to say is that if I'm not holding the animal, I cannot feed it at all. That's what the Gemara's assumption is. So ha itmar lav, the Gemara says, yeah, but we know that's not true because it was said regarding this brisa. Amar Rabbi, hacha be'evus ha'omei b'rishos ha'rabim, navor asar tfachim v'rochav arba v'roshan nechmas l'bein ha'pasim, tizimnim d'chazi le'la avas l'mekalka v'asla l'tkune v'dar le'la davla v'hadei, v'kamafik m'rishos ha'yach l'rishos ha'rabim. So Abai gives the explanation. I know we already said this over once. And that basically what we're describing over here is a scenario in which you are going to be walking the kli from the Bein HaPasim over the shraf, which is itself a Rishus Yachid, over to the animal. And the concern is that you're going to see something wrong with the trough, and you're going to put down the kli in the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to fix the trough, and you just transferred from Rishus Yachid to Rishus HaRabim. Again, the Gemara goes over the technical point that we made earlier. When you picked it up to bring it to the animal, your intention at the time of Akira was not to do Hotzah, and so therefore you're not violating an Issa Deraisa even when I end up putting it in a Rishus Rabbah. Ella, so the Gemara says, you're right, Zimnan Dimitakin Le, Bahadama Ayole, Bekama Ayole, Rishus Rabbah, Rishus Yachid. So the Gemara says, yeah, after you fix the trough, then you're going to pick it up from the ground and with the intention of bringing it to the animal, and that is transferring from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid. That would be Nisu Daraisa, and that's why the Chachamim felt Gzera is necessary. Meaning that is Abai's understanding of the Braisa, and the Braisa does not impact at all our discussion. Where are we right now in terms of the Amud Beis of today's daf? A lengthy discussion regarding when your animal is drinking from a water source. Does the head and the majority of the animal have to be in the same domain as the water source, much like when it comes to a person? And on top of that, are we describing a scenario in which you're not holding the animal? That's version number one. Or are we describing an animal where you describing a scenario where you are holding the animal? And that's in version number two. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, on all this now, let's bring the following proof from the following braisa. Gamal shel rosha v'ruba mibifnim, ofsim osam mibifnim. So if I have a camel where the head and the majority of its body is interior, so one is allowed to now force feed the animal that is interior, meaning as long as the animal and the food are both in the same domain, so then you can feed it. Now the Gemara comments over here about Avas Kamanda Naki Mana Menaka Ladamya. Now force feeding, so you're holding the kli and you're holding the animal as well. It is tantamount to a hand on the kli and the hand on an animal. Because force feeding obviously is going to demand that you have to be holding the animal. So v'kabi ina rosha v'ruba. Now, here in the case of force feeding, it demanded that both the head and the majority of the body of the animal be in the same domain, even in a scenario in which I'm holding the animal. And so this is now going to be support to version number two. Amar of achar, bar, ravuna, amar of sheshishani, gamahol, v'tzaviro, aruch. So the Gemara says, okay, but it could very well be that we're talking about a camel over here. The neck of the camel is very long. And so maybe a scenario in the camel is just simply different, simply because of the length of the neck of the camel. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, but consider the following braisa. Behema shirosha veruba bifnim, ofsim osa mi bifnim. So here we're talking now about a generic animal, and you can only force feed the animal if the... if the animal and the food are in the same domain, so, and again, the Gemara is working with the same assumption that force feeding an animal means that you have an animal on the kli and you have an animal, I'm sorry, you have a hand on the kli and you have a hand on the animal. And yet, the halacha is that the only way it works is if you have a hand on the animal itself. So, my behema, nami de ketani gamal. So the Gemara says, okay, but what we could do is we can offer a pshat in the Braisa. It says animal, but animal really means camel. V'hatanya behema, v'hatanya gamal. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have one Braisa that talks about camel. I have another Braisa that talks about animal. And so it was fair now to argue that you're not going to have two Braisas, and one is mentioning camel, and the other one which mentions behema is also a reference to camel. It's a camel. That's very strange. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's very strange, but it's still possible. Mi digabe hadad etanya. So we don't have these brises side by side, meaning these two collective brises were not offered in the same Tanaitic work, so to say. And so, yeah, it could very well be that one brisa spells out it's talking about a camel. The other brisa is talking about an animal in general. But it could very well be that both are referring to a camel. Tanya Nami Hacha, the Gemara quotes a brisa, making this point really clear. Rebbe Elazar, Oser Begamal, Hovitz Avara Aruch. That when it comes to a camel, so then you cannot force feed the camel unless you're holding on to the camel itself. Because if you don't hold on to the camel, so then what can happen is that the neck is going to move out of the domain, you're going to be following the neck, and you're going to be transferring from a Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Rabim as you're going to try to keep up with that really long neck. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of this discussion, admittedly a really long discussion regarding one specific detail, and that is that when you're watering your animal, and the animal now is in the same domain as the water, is it required for you to keep a hand on the animal in order to make sure that the animal stay within that domain? According to version number one, if the head and the majority of the body of the animal is in the same area as the water, so then you don't have to hold the animal. And in version number two, no, you do have to hold the animal even if the head and the majority of the animal is in that same domain. And the Gemara leaves us off with perhaps the discussion, the requirement of holding the animal specific only to a camel because of its very long neck. Let us quickly recap our daf today. Our daf opened up with two additional questions that were asked from Abaye de Rava regarding the nature of the Pasei Be'ra'os and whether or not you could transfer from the Pasei Be'ra'os to an encroaching chatzer. That was question number five, going back to yesterday's daf. Question number six, what happens when the water source dries up? Can I now use the area of the Pasei Be'ra'os? The answer there is definitively no. If, let's say, the water fills up again in the well on that Shabbos, can I use it again? And the answer seems to be yes. Rav Elazar on the Amud Aleph says that the Pasei Be'ra'os is in fact deemed as a Rishus Hayachid. And if I were to transfer and throw an item from a Rishus Rabim into the area inscribed by the Pasei Be'ra'os, one would be violating the Malacha of Hotzah. The Gemara says Pshita, that seems to be obvious, and the Gemara says it's not so obvious, because it could be talking about a scenario in which you have traffic going through the area of the Pasei Be'ra'os, and you might have thought that Bakei Be'Rabim, that once traffic goes through, it negates its status of being walls. And the Chiddush is that it does not negate the status of it being walls. Rav Elazar makes that point. Actually, Rav Elazar made the point two times over. The Gemara says one he said explicitly, and the other one we learned from inference. That's all the first half of today's daf. And the second half of today's daf is what we just finished discussing. In that the Mishnah in Erevin, at the end of the Masechta, says that when you're drinking from a water source, you have to be in the same domain as the water itself. If the water is in Rishus Yachin, you, meaning your head and the majority of your body, has to be in that Rishus Yachid as well. Because if not, the concern is that you're just simply going to bring your head back and you're going to be transferring. But when it comes to an animal, so the animal also has to be in the same domain. Now, the Mishnah does not mention animal. And the question is that when the animal is in the same domain as the water, do you need the head and the majority of the animal to be in the same domain? And do you need to be holding on to the kli, which you're using for watering, and you have to also be holding on to the animal as well? And we had two versions of this discussion which cover the Amud Beis. In the first version, the assumption is that if the animal's head and majority are in the same domain as the water, you do not need to hold the animal. If you're holding the animal, so then you don't even need the head and the majority of the body to be in the same domain. That's all according to version number one. In version number two, the assumption is that if the head and the majority of the body are of the animals in the same domain as the water, you would still need to hold the animal in order to make sure that the animal is not moving away, and you would be following the animal, and you'd be transferring from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim. Those are the two versions of the discussion. The Gemara left it off pretty inconclusive, with the only possibility being that maybe when it comes to a camel with a very long neck, so that may be different. Ad Kan.